The text again is chapter 1 of Mark, verses 29 through 39. And be careful how you listen. This is the word of God. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall endure forever. My family, we have this wonderful opportunity every 6 months or so to visit my brother's family. His wife is from Mongolia, and that fact reminds me of the country's great history. The Mongol Empire was founded in the 13th century by Genghis Khan, and at its peak, it covered some 9 million square miles from the shores of Asia all the way to Eastern Europe. The Mongols, they conquered with their military tactics of cavalry and bow and arrows. It is considered by many to be, if not the greatest, one of the greatest world empires history has ever known. But it pales nothing to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not of this world. It is a spiritual and everlasting kingdom. The kingdom of God is one in which there will be no death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. There will be no sickness in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God does not conquer with bow and arrows, but with the sword of the Spirit, that is, the Word of God, especially the preaching of the Word of God. We have before us tonight the Gospel of Mark, and it declares that it is the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus proclaims his kingdom, and he declares it in Galilee, and throughout the towns of Galilee, he goes to Judea, and it climaxes in the Passion Week, where he is falsely accused by the Sanhedrin, nailed on a Roman cross. His body was laid in a tomb, but he rose again on the third day. And he has committed his ministry to the church. Tonight, the passage is chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. And the teaching of the passage appears to be Jesus' ministry of healing and preaching is indicative of the kingdom of God. Jesus' ministry of healing and preaching is indicative of the kingdom of God. I divided the passage into two parts. Very easy. Healing and preaching. Healing, verses 29 through 34, and preaching, verses 34 through 39. First, Jesus' ministry of healing is indicative of the kingdom of God. Verse 29, and immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And the fever left her, and she began to serve them. It is the Sabbath, and Jesus has been teaching in their synagogues, and the crowds are astonished with his teaching. The Spirit has been active. But now, it is time to retreat to a private abode, to do the things that are necessary for the body, such as physical rest, eating, drinking. They head over to Simon's house. But when they arrive, they discover that Simon's wife's mother is beset with a fever. Not just a common cold, or one in which we would say that we're just merely under the weather. But this was a fever that had her immobilized, and she is bedridden. The historian Josephus tells us that Capernaum was a marshy area, and it gave off malaria, and it was notorious for fevers. In the Gospel of Luke, the author, a physician, tells us that this is a great fever. And immediately, they tell Jesus. Jesus comes and takes her by the hand, and the fever departs immediately, in an instant, and she begins to serve them. Now, there's no weakness, there's no after effects of listlessness that normally you would feel after a fever of this type, possibly like a typhoid fever, one in which after the temperature breaks that you feel weak for weeks. No, but this elderly woman stands up and begins to serve at least five of them. Jesus, Simon, Andrew, James, and John. Let the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Psalm 33, verses 8 through 9. Jesus gave a fiat and it was done immediately. Verse 32. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Earlier at the synagogues, they exclaimed, "What is this? What doctrine is this that he commands and the demons listen to him?" Jesus' popularity is growing. His fame is spreading throughout all of Galilee. And at sundown, the city gathers at his door. Historians estimate the city was about 3,000. Jesus, the Lord, is merciful and gracious, and he heals their diseases. He looses them from the snare of the devil. And he heals, not just for physical relief, but to point to himself, because he is the resurrection and the life. Jesus heals to point to an eschatological end, that is, the realized kingdom of God, the telos. One in which the eyes of the blind will be open and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Jesus, He casts out demons. And later he will tell the Pharisees that if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. The strong man has been bound by an even stronger man, and that is the Son of God. The demons, they recognize the Son of God, and they tremble. They know their destruction is imminent. And though the demons, they knew Jesus, Jesus did not permit them to speak. His time had not yet come. But perhaps an even greater reason is because these demons have rebelled and they're actively against Jesus. And though their testimony may have some truth, these unclean spirits, their allegiance is to the Father of lies. And their testimony would only be a tarnished testimony. Jesus, he is the Son of God. He is Almighty God, possessing of omnipotent power, supernatural power over to overturn the natural to suit his purposes. These signs, these miracles are indicative of his divinity. The works that Jesus does in the Father's name bear witness of him. These works cannot be attributed to mere man, but only to the God-man. Healing is indicative of the kingdom. The curse of sin has been broken, and the curse of sin includes sickness and disease, and the stronghold of Satan has been weakened. C.S. Lewis, his fantasy series, The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, The Witch, and the Wardrobe, is a beloved classic. In that book, the children, they discover a passageway to Narnia through the wardrobe. And they experience a perpetual winter, bleak, cold, stark. And that's because it's under the reign and curse of the White Witch. But Aslan, the Lion King, he's on the move. And although the final battle has not yet commenced between Aslan and the White Witch, already Narnia is thawing out. It is spring. The White Witch's power is weakening. We see grass turning green. We see the delicate leaves from the tree, a bee that buzzes across their path. Aslan will soon take back what is rightfully his. Jesus, the Son of God, he's on the move. And the stronghold of Satan has been weakened. And Jesus will consummate his kingdom. We've considered Jesus' ministry of healing and how it's indicative of the kingdom of God. Next, we'll consider Jesus' ministry of preaching and how it's indicative of the kingdom of God. Jesus' ministry of preaching. Verse 35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. The next day, while it was still dark, before Jesus embarked on any other endeavor, he went out seeking a desolate place with minimum distraction for the purpose of prayer. He sought deep, meditative communion with God. He knows that soon enough, that throngs of people are desiring to press in on him. But Simon and the others, they're searching for him. They have something to tell him. Possibly they have other plans. And they realize Jesus is not in the house. And when they finally find him, Simon says, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus, the Son of God, in his divine nature, he knows what is in man. Are the crowds, are they searching for true spiritual nourishment? Or things for their belly, physical comforts? Are the crowds, are they seeking eternal life? Or just concerned about the life on this world? Are the crowds, are they seeking a geopolitical leader who will free them from the oppression of the Romans? Or are they seeking the King of Glory, the King of Zion? Jesus, he says to Simon, "Let us go to the next towns, for I was sent to preach to them." Jesus, the Son of God, sought communion with God in the morning. In his human nature, he depended on the Spirit because he was sent for this purpose. The Spirit anointed him to preach good tidings to the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, for the opening of prisons to those who are bound. Jesus sought deep, meditative communion with God because he knows that the natural man does not desire the things of the gospel. They are foolishness to him. And he cannot because they are spiritual. So Jesus depends on the Spirit because preaching, unless it's accompanied with the Spirit, it is for naught. Jesus prays in the morning so that his preaching would be in a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Jesus goes to the other towns of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues, where Moses and the prophets are read every Sabbath. It's God who many times and many places he spoke to the fathers through the prophets. And they're written in a scroll. And as was Jesus' custom, he would pick up a scroll and read and preach. And in that scroll, it would have a prophecy of one, the seed of a woman in enmity with the seed of the serpent. And that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the seed of the serpent. But the serpent would only bruise his heel. In the scroll, it is written that there would be one that would be raised up from among the Jewish people, a prophet, like the greatest prophet, Moses. And God would put his words in his mouth, and he would do all that God commands. In the scroll is written one from the seed of David, and that God would be a father to him, and he would be a son. And God would settle him in his house, in kingdom forever. And the Son would sit on the throne forevermore. But now, in these last days, God has spoken to us through His Son. Jesus is here, and He has proclaimed to them that He is the Messiah. He is the King, and He has the final authority. He is superior to Moses. He's superior to the temple. He's superior to the high priest and those priestly sacrifices. He is superior. The new covenant that He will inaugurate is better than the old. Jesus has come and He has proclaimed the kingdom. Preaching is indicative that the kingdom has come. When John the Baptist, when he began to have doubts whether the kingdom has come or whether Jesus was the Messiah, he sent his disciples to Jesus, and Jesus said to them, "The gospel is being preached to the poor. And the law and the prophets were unto John, but since that time, the kingdom is preached." Later on, Jesus will tell his own disciples on the Mount of Olives that the gospel must be preached to all the nations, and then the end will come. Jesus is the King. He has proclaimed Himself to the King, to be the King. And preaching is indicative that the kingdom has come. During the French Revolution, Napoleon was the first consul. And he consolidated his power, amassed lands, and by 1804, he declared himself king. And he was widely accepted. And he became one of the greatest rulers France has ever known. Jesus, He has proclaimed that He is king, and His kingdom has come. But He's not just one of the greatest. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We have considered the ministry of Jesus. His healing is indicative of the kingdom. We have considered Jesus' ministry of preaching is indicative of the coming of the kingdom. There are essentially two kingdoms, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Satan. Which kingdom are you a citizen of? Who is your king? How do you live your life? I'm not just talking about on a Sabbath, but how do you live your life throughout the week? Are you engaged in sensuality? Do you have eyes full of adultery? Enticed by literature or images? Have you murdered your neighbor because you hate him? Are you given over to excessive wine, drunkenness? Do you covet? Do you want the latest electronic gadget? Perhaps a new car, maybe a bigger house. Now, friends, don't get me wrong. God has given us things that we can richly enjoy. But I'm talking about making things an idol. We are to make our calling and election sure. Should we not want and desire to sell all we have for Christ? Should we not, whether we sit or stand, want to devote ourselves to Scripture, to prayer? Jesus, He is the King. And He has declared that His kingdom has come. In the Passion Week, He told the Sanhedrin that He was the King. He's coming on the clouds, and His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. And He charged them with blasphemy. And He put Him on a Roman cross. And He was in the grave. But the third day He rose again from the dead. He is now at the right hand of the Father, and he is reigning. And he must reign until he puts all things under his feet. And the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. And that is the day the reign of Satan will be over. That is the day when Christ will separate the sheep from the goats. That's the day that God will judge the world in righteousness by man whom he has raised from the dead. Are you a citizen of the kingdom of God? What have you done with your sins? Have you rested and received Christ? It is he who gave himself up, and he fully satisfied the justice of the Father. I ask you, I implore you, if you're not a citizen of the kingdom of God, then believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be. You will become a citizen of the kingdom of God, a royal heir, and you will reign with him. I preach the same gospel Jesus preaches. I implore you to repent and believe in the gospel, and you will be heirs of an everlasting inheritance. In 1296, Kublai died, and the Mongol Empire was split into four pieces. It had been weakened. And 7 years later, the Ming Dynasty rose into prominence and effectively dissolve the Mongol Empire. These earthly kingdoms, they will come and go. They are temporary. And you know them. The Babylonians, the Romans, the English. It goes on and on. And these are the kingdoms, as it says in 1 John 5, the whole world lies in wickedness. But the kingdom of God is not of this world. It is a spiritual kingdom. It is an everlasting kingdom. And what do we pray for in the second petition? We pray, thy kingdom come. We pray that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed and the kingdom of grace may be advanced. We pray for that day where every knee will bow of the things that are in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. That will be the consummation of the kingdom. We've considered Jesus' ministry of healing and preaching and how it's indicative of the kingdom of God. Jesus' ministry of healing and preaching and how it's indicative of the kingdom of God. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.